This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
All right, afternoon. Thanks for being here today, and a special program because a special event's happening on Saturday. Fish of Roseburg celebrating the 50th anniversary. Executive Director David Graham is here. And also Marilyn Woodridge, one of the people who helped start the Fish. And I guess, David, we'll start with you. Explain for folks, what is Fish of Roseburg?
Well, our operation is initially a food bank, very similar to any other operation where we offer and provide food and supplies to those in Roseburg who are in need. Beyond that, though, we've expanded into offering travel services, vouchers for gas and transportation, emergency shelter needs as well, trying to fit that niche of being the short-term bridge to help over a crisis.
And so talk about your role as executive director.
Well, my role as any executive director in a charitable operation is basically to keep the wheels on the bus. We operate the day-to-day operations. Basically, I take my direction and the vision of the board of directors that set the parameters for us. And my job is to take their ideas and execute those out in the real world on a day-to-day basis.
And we have got one of the people who helped start Fish 50 years ago, Marilyn Woodridge. Marilyn, thank you for coming in.
You're welcome.
And we do have one little typo from my comments this morning. You're not 93.
No.
So how old are you?
96.
I think you may have set a record for a live interview.
Really?
For me.
All right.
So, and how long have you lived in Roseburg?
Since 1950.
So you've been here 72 years.
Yes.
What brought you to Roseburg?
My husband decided that he would like to practice law here. We came to Eugene from Chicago. I met him at the University of Chicago, and his parents had moved to Eugene. We liked Eugene, so we came to stay in Eugene for a while. He had to pass the bar in Oregon. And when he was ready to start a practice, he heard about Roseburg, and Roseburg was just starting to grow. It was just beginning to burgeon, and he thought this would be a good place to practice law. So he practiced law for about, four years or so, and then he was appointed as a circuit judge. And he served as a circuit judge for, 35 years, something like that.
Wow. And you obviously have gotten a unique vantage point to have seen all the changes in Roseburg and the Umpqua Valley.
A lot of changes.
Since 1950.
Yes.
What do you think? What are some particular changes that come to mind?
Well, when we first came, it was hard to find a place to live.
Well, that hasn't changed. That seems to be a current problem.
Well, we rented places, and we'd stay about 6 months, and the house would be sold out from under us when nobody'd even come to look at it. That's how desperate people were for housing. So we decided to build our own house, and so we wouldn't have to move so often. Goodness, there are other changes there. There were no kinds of cultural events, no music events, it was just beginning to grow. So we were active in a lot of ways to start a lot of things happening, in the art center, the Umpqua, there was an orchestra. My husband played the trumpet. There were just a number of things that we thought Roseburg needed, we wanted, and so helped to start.
So obviously very involved. And I'm thinking back when you moved here, of course, you didn't even have a freeway.
Right. I remember when the freeway was built, there was a farmhouse. It was Ralph Church's farmhouse, where the freeway hits Garden Valley, and he had a number of shrubs. He said, "Do you want to come and dig those up and move them and have them?" And we said, "Sure." So that's my memory of the freeway.
Wow. Well, we could do a whole separate program talking about all the changes. That's very fascinating. So talk about fish. How were you involved and what led to this beginning back in 71, 72?
Well, I am a member of First Presbyterian Church. Our church and several others wanted to do something about hunger to help bring food to people. There wasn't any organization, but Vern had started a system whereby he talked to an answering service into accepting calls. They would then call a monitor who would be anonymous but could help someone who was in need. So we called ourselves monitors, and I think I did that like one day a month, sometimes 2 days a month. So for the whole day, I would receive calls through this answering service and then try to help the people who needed a lot of things. It wasn't just food. We did a lot of things. We tried to help with transportation, with housing, you know, overnight housing, with there were a lot of things that I attempted to do to help people. I remember it was probably a little later than that, in maybe the 80s, when it was decided that the government shouldn't have to take care of mentally ill people, and so they sent them to the community. I answered this call of a poor woman who was in an apartment with no furniture. She'd been released, you know, from the, I think, state hospital, and she was afraid to go out. And somehow she had a phone, and she needed everything. So I did the best I could for her. I got food and tried to get help for her so that she wasn't just abandoned there. Gosh, I could tell you lots of stories.
Well, and it's fascinating because we now, you know, people that have lived in the community for a number of years, you get used to, even if you don't need help or services, you probably know about the organizations and FISH and UCAN and all the other things that are there. But it's interesting to think back to a time when none of that was there.
That's right. And so each monitor, I think, tried to be as innovative as possible. I got a lot of requests for food, of course, and the food that was gathered by the churches was kept at the Methodist Church's janitor's room. And so at about 4 o'clock late in the afternoon of the day, I was helping, I would go fill boxes for the people for whom I was delivering food, and then I drove to those places to deliver the food, and there was no GPS in those days. Trying to find some of these remote places where people lived was kind of challenging at times, and it would be dark by the time I got home. And of course, I had children at home and family to take care of, so I remember driving around trying to find places, and sometimes, there'd be a dog barking, or it even got a little scary at times.
Wow. So obviously very involved. Talk about the early days when you kind of went from that model of helping people via the phone. What happened next in terms of a building or something else?
I don't remember the dates, but, you know, after several years of doing that, it was decided we needed a board. About that time, UCAN, which was located in Harvard in an old house, allowed us some space, and we could also use their freezer. Vern did all of that, Vern Haas, who was really the person who kept fish going through the years. He was an amazing man. And then at about that same time, it was decided that we needed a board to help him, and we arranged to have two people from each helping church. There were six churches, and then the board worked with Vern, and finally we were able to get enough money to give him a little salary. He'd been doing it as a volunteer all those years. And we were there at that Harvard location for a number of years, and of course it was way too small, and it was just very inconvenient. And so it was decided, it was really scary trying to get, to think about having trying to get people to donate so that we could get the money to build a building. But we finally did that.
We're going to talk about that when we come back on Inside Douglas County. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1247 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1249, Lars Larson coming at 1. Shannon Sebastian has your cue, part of KQEN Local Talk at 4. Another candidate interview on Friday. Republican candidate for Governor Christine Drazen will be on Inside Douglas County. We're talking about the 50th anniversary of Fish of Roseburg. David Graham, executive director, you've been here how long now?
Started in January, so feel like it's got my feet in the ground, but a lot. A lot shorter timeline than most of my volunteers, absolutely.
Well, and Marilyn Woodbridge with us, 96 years old, one of the people that helped start it. By the way, do you get carded? Because you do not look 96.
Carded? Are you kidding?
Well, it's just fascinating to, learn this history and some of these things. It's one thing to read it, David, on paper somewhere, but to talk to somebody who was there when... what happened 50 years ago? This is great. So you were working towards getting a building. Where was the first actual building that was your own?
Well, the building that is being used right now, that was the big drive. And we were able to build on the campus get help from various organizations. We worked to put together as much money, much help as we could get, and it was really wonderful. And we tried to get as large a building as possible, and I think that the plan we've had has been very workable, and I think has proved to be a good place, and we tried for several years to find a spot to build it. We wanted a gift, actually, and we just couldn't afford it. So when this campus, what's it called?
From Jerry's Drive, yes, from Aviva and us, we all share the campus area, and Aviva particularly has been one of our great partners in allowing us through donations and grants and such to not only build but kind of continue to thrive online on property.
And by the way, we ought to talk about before we get lost in all this great history about what you're doing on Saturday.
Well, and that's what we're doing, celebrating all of this history. So this Saturday, just around the corner, we'll be doing our grand open house, the Fish at 50. So it'll be our opportunity to kind of open our doors. We've got several other partners in charity groups that'll be out there with tables to share their information. We'll have some food trucks, a little bit of family fun, trying to just let it be a place where you can stop in, take a look, see for yourself really where your dollars have gone to. So much of Roseburg has been generous in both donating time, dollars, grants, all of that that comes to us. And this is their chance to now kind of walk the property and see really what it is that we've done and what we've been able to do with their generosity.
And a number of the people that help you do that via the Green Bag program, so
yes,
they don't even have to come out there. Somebody picks up the food from their house.
Yes, our Green Bag operation, again, if you go back and just reflect on what Marilyn was saying, from just 5 to 7 people that really started the seed of Fish to where we are now, we've got the Green Bag program, which really, if you count all of those people that work with us as volunteers, that's over 700 or 800 people in the community that collect foods for us. Those foods go back to the warehouse here at the Fish. We then are able to distribute them out to the people in need. We have the program we just started developing with DoorDash for complimentary delivery of foods, so people don't necessarily have to come to our property as well. The joint work that we do with the other charities in town, all of that I think is just so critical. And so Saturday, we sort of want to just celebrate and acknowledge all of that, too.
Well, and what time are things going on?
Well, we'll open our doors at 10. We'll roll until 2 or 2:30. We're hoping to have weather as good as we possibly can. Of course, we'll be open rain or shine, but it should be well worth a chance to come by. Aviva, our next-door neighbor, they happen to have a job fair going on the same day. So it's a perfect chance to come out, stop at one place, come by and visit the other. We're just open and willing to invite people to come in, talk to us. Many of our volunteers will be there, past and present board members. It'll give them a chance to talk a little bit more about the history and who and what we are.
So, Marilyn, how long did you stay involved with everything?
Goodness, I've forgotten the years, but I received a very nice clock for 30 years of serving on the board. But, you know, I want to emphasize, though, that there have been many, many volunteers who've done a great deal for the Fish Pantry, for years. A lot of dedicated people and people from the six churches who've been involved. So it's been successful because of all of those wonderful people.
Well, it does take a lot of people to do this and to maintain any organization, especially a nonprofit, for this many decades is pretty incredible.
Yeah, we feel blessed. Again, Roseburg itself as a community is a wonderful place to live, but it also has such tremendous support for these kinds of activities. And we see ourselves as a small niche within the greater world of all the charitable operations that are out there. We fill a need for people of all walks of life at any point in time, whenever there is a crisis in their world where they need to have a little helping hand. That's what we are there for. And we've been, again, just blessed with the ability to do this for so long and to do it so successfully. I can't be prouder to be able to be a part of that. So I'm just looking forward to the next 50 years.
Marilyn, we've just got a minute left here. If somebody's listening and is thinking about trying to get involved in some way, what would you say to encourage them to be a volunteer or to help out Fish?
Well, it's a wonderful feeling to know that you are helping people who have a real need. And there are those people here in Roseburg always. And I would encourage anyone to help.
Perfect. That wraps up our time today. Again, the event, David, is going to be 10 to 2 or a bit past on Saturday, right?
Indeed.
All right. Fish in the Focus today, Fish Food Pantry and Jerry's Drive out at the nonprofit campus. Guys, thanks for coming in and really appreciate hearing all the history from you.
Well, thank you so much.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.